the Vox Markets podcast.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Lawrence Nye, Head of Policy, and Jack Marshall, Senior Policy Advisor at the Quoted Companies Alliance. Guys, thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much, Justin. Thanks, Justin.
Now, we're going to talk about a theme that's been very strong in the last few years, and it's due to get stronger, and rightly so, ESG. Before we do that, guys, for people who didn't listen to the first two episodes with Tim there, could you explain, first of all, what the Quoted Companies Alliance is all about, please?
Yeah, of course. So we are the QCA, the independent membership organisation that represents the interests of small to mid-sized quoted companies. We have approximately 300 members. Over 200 of these are the quoted companies themselves that operate on the London Stock Exchange's main market and AIM, as well as the Aquis Stock Exchange. The rest of our membership consists of the advisory community that supports these companies, including investors, brokers, accountants, lawyers, and other intermediaries. Our work is guided by three key principles: influencing, interacting, and informing. We aim to influence the likes of government and the regulators to create an environment that is proportionate and takes into account the different sizes and complexities of companies on the markets, and balancing the costs and benefits of any regulatory action. We create interaction by providing a forum for small and mid-sized quoted company directors to network with other directors, as well as fund managers, brokers, and other industry bodies. And finally, we inform our members and other market participants through our guides, events, and other communications to ensure our members have the information that they need for their business.
Yeah, excellent. Thanks very much for that. Okay, let's talk about environmental social governance. It's been a term that's bandied around a lot recently, and you see many companies adopting the standards. But what are the main sort of regulatory requirements or developments in regards to ESG, then, guys?
Yeah, well, as you've mentioned, it's an incredibly important topic, and one that's sort of at the forefront of everyone's minds, and has garnered a significant amount of attention in recent years. And with all this increase in attention, it's meant that there's been increasing levels of regulatory focus on these issues. So if we sort of dissect it up, if we take the environmental pillar first, which is concerned with how companies perform in terms of their impact on the climate and nature, there have been multiple regulatory developments. The first sort of key regulatory development that came in was the streamlined energy and carbon reporting requirements, which was implemented in 2018. And this covers the majority of quoted companies and requires them to report on their energy use and carbon emissions. More recently, the most significant focus from the government and regulators has been in relation to TCFD, which is the Task Force on Climate-Related Financial Disclosures. And this is a framework that's designed to help public companies disclose their climate-related risks and opportunities. So the SEA initially consulted on a new listing rule requiring premium list companies on the London Stock Exchange to comply with the recommendations. And this was then followed up and extended to standard listed companies. And then finally, BEIS, the business department, implemented a requirement for all AIM quoted companies with over 500 employees to make TCFD aligned disclosures. So there's lots going on in this area. And if we look to the future, the ISSB, the International Sustainability Standards Board, which was established during COP26 towards the end of last year, is currently consulting on two sustainability standards. And we're also expecting the UK government to consult on this sustainability disclosure requirements later this year. So there's a lot happening going on in the under the environmental pillar of ESG. In terms of the social pillar, it's quite a broad term, but at a high level is concerned with how companies manage their impact and relationships with employees, suppliers, customers, and the communities within which they operate. This is slightly less developed than the environmental pillar, particularly in terms of regulatory developments. We have seen and indeed responded to the FCA's recent consultation on diversity and inclusion on company boards, and this proposed changes to the listing rules to require companies to disclose on a comply or explain basis whether they meet diversity targets. And so the targets include 40% of women on boards, at least one senior position being a woman, and at least one member of the board should be from a non-white ethnic minority background. We're still awaiting the outcome of this, but this is one of the few developments so far in this area as regulation is concerned. We, of course, have the Hampton-Alexander Review and the Parker Review, which are looking at gender and ethnic diversity, respectively, in the UK's largest companies. But these are the main developments so far to date, but I'm sure we can expect more down the line in relation to the social pillar.
Yeah. And I assume bigger companies maybe, you know, have the resources and funding to find it easy to adhere to ESG standards. But how does it impact sort of small and mid-sized companies in particular then?
Yeah, so I think the main challenge, the main initial challenge is establishing what is relevant to the companies at the smaller end. So as Jack's just mentioned with the TCFD requirements from BEIS, it's about knowing where you sit in the thresholds, knowing how close those thresholds are, and then being able to relay to investors you know, whether or not this applies to them, or if there's a plan to be caught by those thresholds and how they'll respond to that. In addition to that investor awareness, I suppose communicating good practice, whether that is above and beyond what is required by the incoming regulations, or if that is separate to that, it's just their own company purpose driving towards doing good practice in ESG, that should be clearly communicated to investors. Mm-hmm. And then the last pillar is perhaps balancing those expectations with what they have in terms of resource. So again, talking about smaller and mid-cap companies relevant to or related to larger companies, it's establishing what they can do with their resource and explaining the difference there. But the larger companies perhaps will be adhering to a higher standard, but smaller companies still can do a lot of good things. Some of them are in fact innovating and really at the cutting edge of much of the expectations regards to both environmental and social progress. So communicating that clearly is really essential.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of appetite for it. I mean, it's obviously a fund set up and all that stuff, but and you know, many investors are looking to invest in, you know, more sustainable organisations. And you mentioned their communication. You know, how effective do you think, you know, communication is when it comes to ESG then?
I think communication is absolutely essential for any company when trying to ensure good practice in relation to ESG. But I also think that this has to be coupled with a recognition from the companies themselves, but also regulators, shareholders, and other stakeholders that no two companies are the same. Companies are different in terms of their size, sector, operations, structure, and so on and so forth. And this makes the communication and explanation part so important for companies, because as a result of their unique nature, each company is going to have a different environmental and social impact, such as they may produce, for example, less emissions, and as a result of that may not necessarily need to take as much action or provide as much data as other companies. And this is why it's very important for companies to include sufficient explanations around this for investors and other stakeholders to understand. And in a similar light, the same can be said for smaller companies. They typically have, you know, as we know, less resources and less internal capacity to be able to focus on their ESG-related issues to the same extent as larger companies. Who have more resources and may even have, you know, the likes of dedicated ESG teams and departments to tackle these issues. So this is where it becomes imperative for effective communication, where smaller companies need to ensure that their stakeholders understand what they're doing, however far they have come along on their ESG journey, as well as setting out a plan for the future. And this will hopefully help to ensure that they're communicating these issues effectively with their stakeholders. And it's also necessary, on the other hand, for investors and other stakeholders to not just look at the quantitative elements of a company's disclosures, but to sort of do an in-depth reading of the quantitative, qualitative disclosures and explanatory pieces to ensure they have a deeper understanding of the reasoning behind the quantitative elements.
Yeah. And to explain, if you know, retail investors are looking out for, you know, small mid, they're investing in small mid cap companies, then, you know, what should they look out for as far as you know, a strong ESG focus from the company side?
I think it's, you know, the main thing is to go to those annual reports and really have a dig around in terms of finding what the qualitative information Jack was just mentioning is. We've spoken to a range of our member companies recently. Some are manufacturers, some are sort of in the services sector, just a broad range where different things have a higher or lower priority. We even spoke to one that is basically designed to create more sustainable solutions for fuel usage. So that story might not come across immediately just looking at how much fuel they're using or how much energy they're using in some of the quantitative data that's available just looking at the front end of their report. We're encouraging members to put all the qualitative story elements quite prominently in their annual reports. But from the retail investor's perspective, they should also be aware that there might be some of that story a little bit deeper into the report. So that's a key thing. Establishing for them what's really important to them is also key, because whereas you can expect a larger company to tick all the boxes and be both strong on social aspects as well as environmental and have very good governance that ticks all the boxes in terms of expectations, they perhaps have to be more targeted with the small and mid caps. It's much more difficult for those companies to be strong in all areas, but sometimes they're really excelling in one or the other. And like I said earlier, some of them actually have a purpose that is driven by some of the things we're discussing. And then, yeah, the final key thing is to assess how those two things might match up. I suppose the story and their priorities as an investor, and hopefully they'll find the right companies to invest in that way.
Excellent stuff, guys. Lawrence and Jack, thanks for coming on. Hopefully we'll catch up in the not too distant future on the next episode and covering macroeconomic pressures. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Justin.
Thanks, Justin. Great to speak.
The Vox Markets Podcast.